Hello, and welcome to the Joint State Policy Podcast. I'm Susan Elder, and I work at the Joint State Government Commission, which is a research office that serves both chambers of the Pennsylvania legislature. Thanks for listening in to our discussion about current policy topics in Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to talk about House Resolution 88. This resolution was introduced by Representative Polenchak and focuses on COVID-19's impact on Pennsylvania through the waivers and suspensions of professional licenses. I'm here today with Glenn Passowitz, our executive director.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Glenn. And Brian DeWalt, who is our sound engineer and co-host.
As always, glad to be back.
And Grant Rossell, who's our project manager for House Resolution 88.
Hey, glad to be with you.
Thanks for joining us today, Grant.
No problem.
Before we start our conversation, Glenn, would you give us a little bit of your thoughts and understanding of this resolution?
Thank you, Susan. Governments, whether federal, state, or local, developed untold numbers of responses to the COVID pandemic. And some were obvious, like school closures, shutdowns of businesses and services, mandates about face masks and travel. But many were out of the public eye and behind the scenes efforts to maintain smooth functioning of necessary operations. HR 88 directed us to study the regulatory waivers and suspensions issued by the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs at the Department of State. These regulatory waivers and suspensions went to work to help sustain the labor pool and the services provided in healthcare and many other fields during the pandemic. And Grant will dive into the details as to how these efforts played out.
Thanks, Glenn. So, Grant, I am actually not very familiar with the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs. Could you give me some examples of the waivers and suspensions that were put into place?
Sure. The Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs is a bureau within the Department of State, and they're charged with regulating the professions that require a license to work in those professions. I believe there's 62 different types of licenses. I believe there's something like 29 boards. Some of the waivers, specific waivers that you're asking about, we group them into tables by topic in the report. And these topics are regulations governing professional practice, scope of practice, like, you know, what can a dentist do? What can a nurse practitioner do? Things like that. Continuing educational requirements, delegation of duties. What can a certain professional delegate to an assistant, for example? Registering, renewing, and reinstating licenses. And educational, experiential, and examination requirements for licensure and practice by out-of-state licensed professionals. Typically, the waivers would fall into one of those groups. They run the gamut, some fee waivers, for example, for a nursing license, the BPOA waived fees to reactivate a license. You know, if your license was inactive for a period of time, you know, normally you would have to pay a fee to reactivate it. They waived that fee. It's things like that.
Hairdressers. I just thought that was a great one because the physicians or the healthcare workers being under BPOA, that kind of was what I was thinking and made sense. Getting your hair cut in pandemic has been a big deal.
The professional board is a cosmetology. The waiver suspended the provision mandating that a school have a minimum area of 2,750 square feet. And there's also other physical space requirements. Kind of a hard workaround to have if you're going to move some of your education, at least the book learning part of it, to an online format. Here's another interesting regulation that was waived. Funeral directors requires that a resident intern who's, you know, training to be a funeral director would have to restart their training period if the training period was interrupted for 30 days or more. That provision was suspended, and now the BPOA was permitting resident interns studying to become funeral directors to have an interruption period of 120 days. It's an interesting regulation, and it's not something that, you know, anybody would be familiar with unless they are, you know, studying to become a funeral director.
Well, and it gives you a sense of the scope of the BPOA, which I didn't have. Thanks, Grant. That's helpful.
Grant, looking back at the genesis of this study, are you aware of where the impetus to grant particular waivers came from?
Well, I think everybody recognized that there needed to be some kind of workaround to keep things going during the pandemic. You know, you had school closures, you had workplaces shutting down. you know, and there needed to be some sort of balancing between keeping things functioning and keeping people safe and distancing during the pandemic. But I think these particular waivers came from the BPOA itself, and the authority for the waivers actually comes from a statute, the Emergency Management Services Code, which gives the governor the authority to waive or suspend the operation of any statute or regulation during a declared state of emergency. So that's basically the genesis of the waivers, is the governor's authority and the action of the BPOA.
Over the course of this, did you meet with any stakeholders? I know there is a fairly long list of organizations that you were talking to. Did you meet with any or hear from any of them who didn't want their waivers to be made permanent, or who recommended a return to a pre-suspension status?
We reached out to a number of professional organizations. A lot of them were healthcare oriented, but some of them were not. Some of them were, you know, real estate appraisers or landscape architects. We did not hear back from everybody. Most of the organizations that we heard back from gave their input on waivers of regulations that they would like to see continued. But there were some who did say, particularly with the temporary licenses, that those waivers should not continue. To explain further, you know, you can obtain a temporary license for a year, but the regulation limits it to a year. Those regulations were waived during the pandemic. So a lot of them were like, well, you really shouldn't have permanent temporary waivers. You know, you, at some point you have to pass your examination and become licensed in the normal course of your profession. But most of the feedback we heard was on things that they would like to keep rather than waivers that they would like to see discontinued, because I think the default assumption was that all of the waivers would expire.
I wanted to jump in quick and ask, I think I remember when looking through the report that with pharmacies, extending medication was one of the waivers that you'd recommended keeping permanent. Was that true?
Yeah. In fact, it's the first recommendation in our report. It's on page 5. If you want to go and read the report on our website, that'd be, you get a lot more detail than what I can kind of just tell you off the cuff. But we did recommend increasing the prescription amounts pursuant to the Pharmacy Act. The Pharmacy Act limits the authority of a pharmacist to provide emergency prescriptions. So it's actually unlawful for any pharmacist to dispense an emergency prescription unless certain conditions are met. Their pharmacist is limited to dispensing a 72-hour supply. But if the medication can't be dispensed in a 72-hour supply, they can give a 30-day supply. They're permitted to dispense up to a 90-day supply of the of certain drugs. They're called non-scheduled legend drugs, or basically any drug that requires a prescription that's not also a scheduled drug. What it would do is it would stop people from coming into the pharmacist every 30 days to refill their medication that they're taking for a long-term chronic condition, something that they need all the time. You just come in 90 days instead of 30 days. So we recommended reforming the regulation to permit the dispensing of medications up to a 90-day supply at one time and a 30-day emergency supply for medications that are used by a patient who uses that medication on a long-term basis.
Brought that one up just because I think it affected a lot of people during the pandemic. All right. So just piggybacking off that last question I asked, it seemed like some of the waivers involved scope of practice, such as dentists who are able to take nasal swabs, or just kind of small pandemic-related scope of practice enhancements. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. As I mentioned, a lot of the waivers were waiving regulations that limit the scope of practice of certain professions, and dentists were one of them. Ordinarily, dentists are limited to what is defined to be dental practice. And I'm not going to quote the regulation, but kind of describes as in legalese what a dentist does. But, you know, to assist with a medical response to the pandemic, the BPOA suspended the scope of practice limitations for these dentists, and they were allowed to dispense medications without regard to whether they were prescribing them in the course of treating somebody as a dentist would treat them. They can write prescriptions for things that don't really have to do with dental practice, and they don't have to see you.
I think I recall, were there sports doctors?
Yeah, there's athletic trainers. They're regulated by either the Board of Medicine or the Board of Osteopathic Medicine, depending on who they're supervised by. But their scope of practice is also fairly narrow. And it's what's unique about their regulation is they're limited to treating people who are physically active persons who are participating in organized individual or team sports. They can treat a football player who with concussion, you know, supervised by a physician, but they couldn't treat somebody who has a concussion because, you know, a hammer fell on their head at work. They're limited to treating people based on where their injury happens. Some other states don't have that kind of a regulation. That was waived during the pandemic, and after taking a look at that, I think we concluded that we should take another look and see if we could alter that. The regulation could be reformed to treating people, you know, based on the nature of the injury and rather than where the injury occurs.
Thanks, Grant. As you were doing your research, did you get a sense that the waivers followed a framework that could be used during future emergencies?
Well, yes, they did follow a pattern of sorts. We kind of broke them down into a scope of practice, for example, you know, education or experiential requirements. Those are the kind of things that would need to be waived in any kind of future emergency if there's an emergency as wide-ranging as this one. I think it might be helpful to have some sort of emergency provision where certain educational or experiential requirements could be waived for a period of time, you know, sort of have emergency off-ramps in terms of, you know, if there's an emergency, you could do this. But we didn't specifically explore that or recommend that in this report. I would note that there is a discrepancy in the way physician assistants are regulated based on whether they're regulated by the Board of Medicine or the Board of Osteopathic Medicine. Physician assistants regulated by the Board of Medicine have an emergency provision in their regulations, which would permit them to have less oversight from a physician and to have essentially an automatic waiver from certain regulations, whereas the physicians regulated by the Board of Osteopathic Medicine do not have that.
Okay.
We didn't recommend any specific change around that per se, but it's just something to, you know, one interesting quirk of the regulation and an interesting quirk of having a Board of Medicine and a Board of Osteopathic Medicine.
So, Grant, I've heard that one of the largest challenges of this report was trying to find out if the waivers affected employment trends at all. Can you explain your process that you went through?
Sure. We went back and looked at employment and licensing data that was available for the couple of years prior to the pandemic. And it's kind of hard to parse out, you know, what is caused by larger trends in the economy, what was caused by the pandemic, and, you know, what did the waivers alleviate? Certainly you could say that the waivers, especially the ones surrounding education, temporary licenses for graduates who couldn't take an exam or relating to out-of-state practice, certainly those kind of helped relieve pressure on particularly the healthcare professions. But whether they impacted employment, who's to say? You know, for example, you know, architecture takes a long time to get that kind of education, and then you have to take an exam. 1 year delay in the kind of exams, who's to say what the impact on employment is going to be? Because the people who have decided on being architects have made that decision years prior. Another example is crane operators. There were over 400 crane operator licenses issued in 2019 and only 200 issued in 2020. So it's like half as many. Now, there was a waiver that crane operators have to be licensed and certified. And if the certification lapses, their license is supposed to also lapse or vice versa. You know, there was a waiver that essentially eliminated that. So you can kind of continue to operate a crane on your license. And maybe that kept some crane operators employed. Maybe it was a handful of people. We didn't have that kind of information. The halving of crane operator licenses, I think that may have been due more to a general economic downturn in that year.
Thank you, Grant.
Grant, can you explain more about how telemedicine and physical presence requirements for meetings relate to some of the waivers that were issued?
Sure. Well, I'll take it as two questions. The first is telemedicine. Pennsylvania does not have any statute either expressly allowing it or expressly forbidding it. So it's, you know, in a way, a legal gray area. And neither does the BPOA. None of the boards have regulations that govern telemedicine specifically. So it's whatever the practitioner or health system wants to do. During the pandemic, I think there was a growth in telemedicine. So it became apparent that this is another area that could use some regulation, essentially. And telemedicine is something that we had recommended in previous reports to deal with, you know, for example, shortage of practitioners or difficulty of patients to obtain a practitioner. Now, with physical presence requirements, I believe you're referring to the board meeting specifically. Some of the boards require that the board meet in person or there's no quorum. What it means is board business can't be conducted unless they're meeting in face-to-face. Well, during the height of the pandemic, nobody was meeting face-to-face for face-to-face meetings.
And just to clarify, we're talking about public boards, right?
Each individual board within the BPOA. So like the Board of Nursing, okay. The Board of Medicine, the ones that regulate the professions, they couldn't meet basically. And, you know, one of our recommendations was to just reform that to permit board members to appear remotely and to be counted towards a quorum for a meeting. You could do it a number of ways. You could have an in-person meeting and say you allow a certain number of people to count towards a quorum if they're online, or you can allow fully a remote board meetings.
Right. That makes sense.
Grant, you discussed earlier how one of the things you're hearing from the organizations you spoke about was they'd like to make some of the changes brought about by the pandemic permanent. Can you discuss the process of how they'd go about that?
Sure. Because the waivers were done on an emergency basis using the governor's authority pursuant to the Emergency Management Services Code, they can't just kind of be magically made permanent. Although I will note that on two occasions, the waivers and suspensions were extended by the General Assembly. Act 21 of 2021 provided for the extension of these regulations until September 30th of last year, of 2021. But then Act 73 of 2021 also specifically provided that the regulatory statutes, rules, and regulations enforced by the BPOA would be in effect until March 31st of this year, of 2022. So it would take either a legislative, an act of the legislature, an act of the General Assembly to specify which, if any, of the waivers they'd like to keep, or if it's not done legislatively, it can be done via the rulemaking process by each board. For instance, earlier I'd mentioned that one of the waivers was for the fee waiver for nurses who wanted to get their license reinstated. Like maybe they took some time off, they let their license lapse, now they want to come back, now they have to pay a fee. But the Board of Nursing could decide to permanently eliminate a fee for reactivating licenses.
Makes sense. Grant, are there any recommendations that we haven't touched on yet that you would want to highlight for us?
I would mention the continuing education credits. Some boards limit the amount of continuing education credits that these licensed professionals can take online. So, you know, during the pandemic, nobody was going to these conferences or meetings face-to-face to get their continuing education credits. So that was that requirement was waived if the board had prohibited or limited online continuing education credits. We recommended that that be made permanent and that professionals be permitted to obtain at least a larger portion of their continuing education credits via online courses if they so choose. It may not have been acceptable prior to the pandemic, but I think after people are used to the online teleconferencing software and people are used to the courses that are offered online and the quality is probably not so much different from the in-person ones. So if some professionals choose to take the online continuing education courses, that should be acceptable.
Thank you so much for joining our conversation about Joint States' recently released report on waivers and suspensions in the Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs. This report also contains a list of the statutory and regulatory waivers and what occupations they affect. It also lists legislation passed last year pertaining to professional licensing. If you're listening and you'd like more information either about Joint State or this study, please check out our website, jsg.legis.state.pa.us. The music in this podcast is provided by Joseph McDade. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.